And welcome back to Side 2 of this cassette, the DX Audio Service for November 1985. And, well, we got a lot of material to cover on this side of the cassette, so I'm going to turn the microphone right over to Bob Walker with the DX Digest column. Bob?
Thanks, Fred. And let's take a look at the DX Digest items here on the DX Audio Service. It looks like the bands are certainly opening up. We've got a long report this time around. In fact, bands are opening up so well on the medium wave, some of my shortwave DXing friends have made the comment they may be hopping down to the medium waves as well. So we may be looking at some new reporters as the international broadcast conditions deteriorate and the medium wave conditions continue to slightly improve somewhat. Beginning with the frequency checks, just a couple to report. On the third Tuesday of the month, WAHT on 1510 has been noted with test tones and IDs. No time reported on that one. And on the third Thursday of the month, KVSA 1220 in Arkansas noted at 0652 Eastern Time with a strong signal with test tones and IDs. Bruce Winkleman in Oklahoma heard that one. Now to special items of interest for you. Beginning on 5:30, actually below the band, CFYZ, or as the Canadians so aptly call it, CFYZ, in Toronto, Ontario, is the Pearson International Airport Travelers Information Station. It began broadcasting in late July with 49.5 watts. They've been noted good with a loop tape and traveler's information and many IDs. This heard in Ontario, in the Toronto area. On 640, WHLO in Akron, Ohio, per an announcement, they're now at 5,000 watts. That heard in Michigan. On 830, CFJR in Brookville, Ontario, was noted strong with top 40 music. They're formerly on 1450, now on 830 on the AM band. Their night signal is very weak in Massachusetts. They've been noted strong in Pennsylvania. And with a somewhat good signal in New Jersey, they were carrying some jingle IDs, even with WCCO and Toronto Blue Jays baseball. So new station, or at least a new station on a new frequency for CFJR on 830. On 1000 kilohertz, the Super CFL, well, they're not that any longer, WCFL in Chicago, is still silent on Tuesday mornings with only an open carrier noted on October the 1st at 0132. On 1030, KBUF in Garden City, Kansas, per a vary from their FM station, KKJQ 97.3, they were scheduled to start a night operation with 1,000 watts on September the 10th. They were formerly daytime only with 25,000 watts. On 1220, WEZG in North Syracuse, New York, noted with an easy listening format, IDing as the Light and Easy 101 FM IDs, and many promos for listeners to choose the music for their switch to WUSR. Andy Rugg in Quebec noted that. On 1270, KOKN, Claremore, Oklahoma, the station is evidently off the air. It has not been heard since after Labor Day. Mostly now KSSA in Texas is noted by Bruce Winkleman in Oklahoma. On 1360, WWNK in Cincinnati, Ohio. They were atop with pop music, weather, and frequent promos of the new Wink. They're formerly WSAI. Kermit Gary in Pennsylvania logging that one. On 1380, in Naugatuck, Connecticut, WNAQ was noted with the National Music Survey ads IDs. They're formerly WNVR, just recently returning to the air. They're on 1380. 1470, a couple of notes, WSRO in Marlboro, Massachusetts. Schedule is now all night with easy listening music, no silent period. And WXKW, Allentown, Pennsylvania. Their schedule is still NSP with country and western music. 1590 is WASY in Gorham, Portland, Maine. The station is now silent. At least this is noted as GORM Portland, Maine. In your NRC logbooks, you may have heard that it is listed as GORM Portland, Oregon. But with the WASY calls, we know they're in Maine. Tony Fitzherbert visited the area earlier this year and noted that they were off the air. And on 1590 as well, WERA in South Plainfield, New Jersey. Per a newspaper report, the station will be going full-time on September the 30th. And those wrap up all the special items. Let's take a look at emergency broadcast for you. Several as well of these, obviously with all the hurricane activity. And since the list is somewhat endless, we are just going to briefly touch upon them. Obviously, if you heard someone with hurricane information on some of these frequencies and calls, maybe a good bet that you heard them as well. Stations were on all up and down the East Coast. So let's get to it, beginning at 540 WLIX in Islip, New York. They were noted off the channel clear, and they were on September the 27th. They were still off on September the 29th, but back on September the 30th. On 600 WICC Bridgeport, Connecticut was noted off on September the 27th. Nothing noted here. They were back on the air later in the afternoon on the 27th with the announcer praising their chief engineer for finding an alternate power supply. On 740 WMBL in Morehead City, North Carolina, they were noted with hurricane information on September the 27th, simulcasting with WMBJ FM. Jerry Starr in Ohio hearing that. 860 WEVA Emporia, Virginia was noted good in CJBC's Null with AP News, pop music, and hurricane information from Pennsylvania. 960 WSBY in Salisbury, Maryland was noted topping the channel on September the 27th with storm news, obviously on their day pattern. 990 WBTE Windsor, North Carolina with a tremendous signal by Kermit Gary in Pennsylvania. They had hurricane info cancellations, North Carolina News Net, and country and western music IDing as the real country 99. 1100 WHLI Hempstead, New York was noted off the air on September the 27th until 4:20 in the afternoon. This in New Jersey. 1200 WKOX Farmingham, Massachusetts lost a tower during Hurricane Gloria. It crashed through the studios, but no injuries. This was on September 27th. They were strong as usual on a check September the 29th by Ernie Cooper. 1230 WCMC in Wildwood, New Jersey was noted off all day on September the 27th. 1260 WNRK in Newark, Delaware was noted good at times with WTAE Splash 1250 and emergency info, ID, phone calls, and the like. John Malicki in Pittsburgh hearing that. 1330 WESR in Onley, Virginia, noted overall with hurricane information, music of your life type music, sports closing and ads. They were simulcasting FM as well. 1370 WKIK in Leonardtown, Maryland was noted very good at times with hurricane information and IDing as your nighttime entertainer. By the way, if I'm not mentioning any dates, that's because all these dates are either September the 26th or September the 27th when the hurricane was moving through. So makes it real easy if you were listening during those days. 1380 WMG New Bern, North Carolina on top with hurricane info, ads, pop music, and IDing is WSFL. New Bern, Havelock, Morehead City, obviously their FM affiliate at 106.5. 1430 WNJR, Newark, New Jersey was off the air yielding WLNA 1420 for some lucky listener in New Jersey. 1500 WFIF in Milford, Connecticut was off the air, still off, some 2 weeks later, by the way, originally off the air September the 27th, and off as of October the 6th. So sounds like WFIF might have run in some serious troubles. 1520 WIBG, Ocean City, New Jersey, was fair in a WKBW null with music info and a dual WIBG WSLT ID. 1530 WDJZ in Bridgeport, Connecticut was noted off with only WDJM noted by Tony Fitzherbert in Connecticut. 1540 WADK Newport, Rhode Island was noted very good at times over and under KXEL with adult contemporary music, weather, some possible hurricane movement information, IDs, and then off. John Malicki in Pennsylvania logging Rhode Island. 1550 WSER Elkton, Maryland was excellent at times over CBE and WCVL with info, weather, warnings, rock music, and many IDs. 1580 WLIM Patchogue, New York was excellent with big band, easy listening music, information, and then off at midnight. John Malicki hearing them. 1590 WETT Ocean City, Maryland was noted over WAKR with MOR music and info for Southern Maryland by John Malicki again in Pennsylvania. And 1600 WLNG Sag Harbor, New York heard weekly giving the FCC rule for emergency broadcast and then started taking phone calls. That too heard in Pennsylvania. Sounds like all our Pennsylvania members were very lucky to add some new stations through the troubles through the East Coast. And that puts the foil on this turkey for this month. Fred will slide her in the refrigerator and come back at you next month here on the DX Audio Service.
Well, the Kentucky King Capon will be back again next month with another look at domestic and international DX Digest. Now let's swing it over to Paul with a look at musings from members.
Greetings, fellow DXers. I'm Paul Swearingen, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles. I'm happy to be joining the rest of the distinguished crew and cast of the DX Audio Service for November 1985. I'm the editor of Musings of the Members in the National Radio Club's DX News Bulletin, and I'm going to be sharing some of these musings with you. I'll be taking a few from the past and some that I just received today, so you'll be right up to date with everyone else when they read Musings of the Members in DX News. And if for some reason you'd like to join us but can't provide me with printed copy, typewritten or otherwise, no problem. I'd be more than happy to transcribe an audio tape. The only catch is that you do have to be a member of the National Radio Club. And I'll be giving you my address so that you can send me an audio tape or your thoughts, contributions, or criticisms. We'll take it all and we enjoy it all. So without further ado, on with it. Our first muse is from Bill Marvin of Rural Route 2, Box 287 of Waseca, Minnesota, 56093. And he says, greetings from the cornfields of southern Minnesota. He hasn't mused for about a year, and he thought he would let fellow DXers know how DX is from Minnesota. He continues, the 1984-85 DX season was very good to me. I logged a few new countries that really caught me by surprise. Fiji 774 was quite common here from November 84 to March 85. Fiji at times put in such a strong signal that at times it caused splatter to the powerhouse stations on 770 and 780. Fiji has a format of Hindi-type music and the strangest local-sounding music that defies description. It is my hope this coming fall and winter season that all Eastern DXers can add the station to their logs. On 756 kHz, New Zealand was quite common. I can't tell all of you the thrill of hearing the announcer say, and now for the New Zealand news at 6 a.m. local time. It sure makes getting to sleep difficult. New Zealand could be logged better, it seems, an hour or so before local sunrise, 6 a.m. or 1100 GMT, till shortly after sunrise. Fiji 774 kHz, on the other hand, would start showing carrier as early as 1 a.m. local or 0700 GMT and peak about 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. local time. New Zealand 754 kHz often faded out rapidly, whereas Fiji had slow deep fades. I noticed that when New Zealand was putting in very good signals, Fiji was down in strength and vice versa. Another good logging is Australia on 765 kHz. It is less dependable, but at times can put in listenable signals. Tahiti 738 can really put a head on 740. I use this head to take notice of band openings to the Pacific area. Tahiti, like Fiji, starts showing activity about 1 a.m. local and later. An interesting note to the East Coasters is that no Pacific DX was heard above 1100 kHz. It seems higher band openings are much less common. Any ideas on that? I can't explain it. Other frequencies of interest are 1044, 10:35, 10:26, 10:17, 10:08 to the Pacific, and since you're up that early, give a listen for Lima, Peru on 854 kilohertz. And thanks to Bill Marvin for those tips from Waseca, Minnesota. Maybe if he can hear them, almost anybody can hear those Pacific stations. Another musing from longtime DXer Ernest Cooper from 5 Anthony Street in Provincetown, Massachusetts, 02657. He gives his phone number as 617-487-9337, but please don't call Ernie during his two silent periods, which run from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time and 3 to 8 a.m. That's when he's getting ready for DXing by putting in a little snooze time. Ernie went to the National Radio Club convention in Rhode Island. He makes a few comments about that. Then he continues, since the convention, I've picked up and sent reports to WCHP 760 in Newy in Champlain, New York, a 25-kilowatt religious station, and to WDER 1320, Derry, New Hampshire, heard in the daytime in the null of WARA. I know at 8:30 is now fouled up at twilight by CFJR X1450, Brockville, Ontario. They'll make it difficult for me to pick up new WLND Ohio and KBOA Missouri. Funny, but CFJR was noted for the first time as WNYC was attempting to explain to its listeners why it now has to sign off at Minneapolis Sunset. This has to be politics, since several other stations have just been granted full-time on 8:30, including CFJR. WNYC's woefully weak 1 kilowatt wouldn't do any harm in WCCO's secondary service area. They couldn't, what with the presence on 8:30 of Belize. Now we know what it's like to belong to a minority group. Only 30% of radio listeners today are tuned to AM stations. So let's hope for a great DX season and, as Ernie always closes his musings, forward march. Jumping down now to Tennessee to Steve Francis' comments. He's at 1620 Lodge Street in Alcoa, Tennessee, zip code 37701, and Steve's been busy. He's a new employee of a new radio station. He says, takes a few minutes to say, hello, everybody. Long time no muse due to nonstop work at WCGM 1120. I've pulled an air shift every day since we signed on 617. Tomorrow's my 100th day in a row and no day off in sight. But he had a chance to do a little DXing. He says he doesn't really need a day off, though, since the hours aren't extreme, 10 to 2 weekdays and 11 to 5 Saturday and Sunday. If you've been trying for us at local sunset this summer with no luck, it's because we sign off at 6 p.m. Try again when standard time returns in October. And a few radio DXing notes from him. He's been listening to WIXC in 1140, which gave a legal ID at sign-off on September 22nd as Hazel Green Huntsville, so they're officially an Alabama station now. They moved from Tennessee. Larry King announced KMFO 1540 in Aptos, Capitola, California, as one of his new affiliates last spring. But I've seen nothing in DX News about their full-time construction pit construction permit being on, is it? Gosh, I don't know. I haven't heard him either. So those comments from Steve Francis in Tennessee. Well, my voice is starting to give out. I just got over a cold and a little laryngitis, so let me just give you my address if you'd like to join us here on NRC's DX Audio Service. You can send me a tape muse, or, of course, you can send me the more conventional way of a written muse. Just send it to Paul Swearingen, and that's S-W-E-A-R-I-N-G-E-N. If you need to spell it out, P.O. Box 4812, Panorama City, California, 91412. And just stick it in a letter and send it off, and like I said, I'd be happy to transcribe one for you. That's about all the time I have left, so let's get back to other things, good things from the DX Audio Service, and this is Paul Swearingen for the DX Audio Service.
This is KFBK Sacramento, total news and information for the Capitol and California.
And now here's John Bowker with a look at the travel log on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And John, people have enjoyed the travel log very much, and I trust that you've enjoyed putting them together for us.
Well, thanks, Fred. Yes, we've been very pleased with the reaction to the travel log, and we're going to keep them kind of brief for you. This month, it's time to get out the atlas showing the road I-95 along southern Connecticut. As we left New York City the day after Hurricane Gloria passed through, it was on a Saturday, And we had responded to a volunteer call, and I have a 12-inch chainsaw, so I decided, what the heck, I'll take my chainsaw over the weekend, and we went up into Connecticut, the chainsaw and I, and picked up a few IDs. So, in no particular order, here is some of Southern Connecticut. Hope you enjoy it.
And good morning. It's 9 o'clock on WICH. 55 degrees. I'm Bob.
The Saturday Night Rock Party with James Faraday.
WGCH, Greenwich Radio.
WGCH. Good evening. I'm James Faraday. It's 9 o'clock.
I got my first real six string.
Well, hi once again, everybody, from Studio 13 here at WAVZ in New Haven, Connecticut. It's the Saturday Night Dance Party.
The Mets close out their 85 season today at 2. Join Gary Thorne and Bob Murphy for all the action on 1420 WLIS.
Let's go, Mets!
And unfortunately, that pennant drive is no longer alive. St. Louis Cardinals, yep, they clinched it. So did Toronto. And in the American League West, it'll be KC, the only team to repeat. I'll have all the news and sports coming up right after ABC News. You're tuned to 1420 WLIS Old Sabre.
From ABC News, I'm Bob Walker.
WSUB, Groton, New London. Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. John Wagner with News 98.
WADK Newport. And for the next 2 hours, WADK now presents Music and Memories with your host, Don O'Hanley.
You're listening to Ireland Today on 1450 WKRI West Warwick. Just a couple of seconds before 10 o'clock, Mike Sheridan and Sean Connor with you this morning playing all your favorite music.
Talk radio for Greater Fall River at 140 on your radio dial. WALE Fall River.
Attorney General says Miranda decision wrong.
Now, stay tuned for great Sunday morning polka sounds with the Great White Hunter on WWON Woonsocket, the spirit of the Blackstone Valley.
1150 WMEX, the legend plays the legend.
Well, that's kind of fun. It even got us up into Boston a little bit. While I was in southern New England, I want you to know we spare no expense in the DX audio service. I went 200 miles north just to get a little cleaner recording if I could get it, and I was lucky, of that new V signal, the time signal on WDOT in Burlington.
WDOT, Burlington. It's 10 o'clock.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I'm Chet Douglas with the latest from ABC News.
And I can also tell you Vermont was just beautiful with the developing foliage of early October. On the way back south toward my home in New Jersey, I couldn't help noticing this juxtaposition of IDs coming out of Hartford. What do you make of this?
You're in touch with AM 1410, WPOP Hartford, celebrating 50 years of broadcasting.
This is Bob Steele. Join me Monday through Saturday for news, weather, sports, and traffic, 5:30 to 10 on WTIC 1080 Hartford, celebrating 60 years as the pulse of New England.
Sure, POP with 50 years and TIC with 60 years. Let's hope that they're still around twice that long. Well, that about does it for this edition of the Travelogue. We're going to be looking forward to being with you next month on the DX Audio Service. I'm John Bowker.
WWTC introduces the weather. Claiming it has the first public service format of its kind, WWTC at 1280 in Minneapolis-St. Paul discontinued music for the final time and is now the Twin Cities weather station. Sam Sherwood, general manager of WWTC, said that weather radio is stepping AM into the 80s, not with just weather, but also computer programs that are geared for home computer systems. Listeners will be able to get school closings, stock reports, sports results, and the weather, all by computer. Weather radio is the latest in a trend of AM stations' crazy formats, just like KHJ's car radio, KXLR's trend formation, and KFRC's midday game zone. Who knows? Next, we might have our own station broadcasting nothing but DX reports 24 hours a day. I can just hear it. This is all DX, all day, every day, 24 hours a day. DX when you need to know. Nah, nobody would buy that. Or would they? I'm Phil Wayne for the DX Audio Service.
This is the sound of wonderful music. WMGS Toledo.
Chicago's country giant, WMAQ, could be in a tub of hot water. Barbara Barrett of Valparaiso, Indiana, has filed a lawsuit against the NBC-owned station over a contest that the station ran. In the lawsuit, she claimed that she held the winning ticket number called out on the air back on April 17th. The prize was to be a brand new Corvette. By the rules of the contest, she was supposed to call within 15 minutes after hearing her number called on the air. The problem was she couldn't get through on the telephone. And to top it off, the station's lines were out of service for the last 7 to 8 minutes of the contest. Ms. Barrett is suing for the Corvette or $27,000, plus $10,000 in damages and legal expenses. Ms. Barrett can only hope that WMAQ's station slogan holds some truth. The slogan, WMAQ's gonna make me rich. I'm Harry Dentz for the DX Audio Service.
Well, the FCC is starting to crack down on pirate radio stations again. On August 19th, the FCC and the United States Marshals, accompanied by an FCC inspector, served a warrant on the alleged operator of a pirate radio station known as KBBR. Additionally, the FCC said that the operator of the station had been previously fined for operating another pirate radio station known as KRZY. Many of the pirate radio stations operate in the shortwave band around 7425, but during the winter months, it's not impossible to hear a few just above the AM broadcast band for an hour or so in the evening.
That isn't the way it works. Somebody brought in an anthology of old commercials.
Now that the pirates are getting busted, who knows if you'll ever log one again. For the DX Audio Service, I'm Phil Tallman.
Well, that wraps up this edition of the DX Audio Service for November 1985. And before we skedaddle out, just a few notes from headquarters. Just a reminder that all letters, bouquets, brick baths, etc. should come here to the Lima address. My address is on side one of this cassette. And I'll make copies of all letters and all information and send them on to headquarters in Wisconsin. Also, all checks should be made payable to the National Radio Club, and I'll forward those down to Dick Truax in Louisville, Kentucky. Don't forget that CPC test, which comes up this month. And if you hear the station, be sure to send them a reception report, as well as let us know here on the DX Audio Service. Paul Swearingen is the new musing editor, and he'll be doing the musing column from now on. If you have a muse that you'd like to send it in written form, just send it to him. If you're going to send it on audio cassette, please keep it below 4 minutes in length. That way everyone has a chance to have their muse put here on the audio service. Remember that April 1st is the annual DX Audio Service April Fool's Edition, so you should start saving up material or perhaps do some creative writing at this present time and send it to me on March 1st. Again, March 1st. Don't send it any time before, though, because I don't want it to get lost. Send it on March 1st, and we'll be putting together, hopefully, a real good April Fool's Edition. Well, we didn't have a whole heck of a lot of time here on side one or side two of the cassette, and we missed out several reports from Bob Walker, John Bowker, and Phil Tallman. We'll feature those on the next edition of the DX Audio Service in December. As if you didn't know, Santa Claus is coming to town shortly, and if you'd like to give a gift subscription of the DX Audio Service to someone, you can do it very easily. It's a $25 subscription, as you well know. However, if you do send in a gift subscription, we'll put a customized message on the front of the cassette for your friend, okay? I notice now we're running out of time, so I'll give the disclaimer. The DX Audio Service may not be reproduced in whole or part without the express written permission of the DX Audio Service or the National Radio Club Incorporated. We'll see you next month on the DX Audio Service. Bye.
Hey, Larry. Larry, can you hear me out there in the transmitter? Give me that nighttime pattern.
All right.
six sweet sounds on KBIT. With cool Southern California, with a misty music touch. From Surfside to Fireside, ride the tide with us, KBIT.